There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
Right from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Oh, yeah! Not a lot of Tobys out there.
No. There's a real Toby genocide happening in this country.
Actually, until I met you guys, I called him Tobe.
Really? You called him Tobe.
Tobe. Yeah, because I'd never talked to anybody about Texas Chainsaw Massacre before you guys. And so, like, for the longest time, like, I just called him Tobe. Because Toby is supposed to have a Y.
Do you think he was a man born in a potato barrel? that he was a man born with his feet fused together?
That's absolutely amazing. Are we good to start this show?
We are.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the last podcast on the left. I'm Ben Kissel. I'm staring at Marcus Parks.
Hey, Ben.
Great John Carpenter Halloween shirt, Marcus.
Thank you very much.
And beautiful, sunny Los Angeles, Henry Zabrowski.
Yes, I'm now in what is now called the Goblin's Downstairs Nest, which is Jackie's room, which is the studio, the last podcast annex on the West Coast. But we have a roof access that's now Jackie's Goblin's Nest, where she sits there, and now there's a loose sort of like circle of cigarette butts roughly in the shape of Jackie, on like right by the chair that she sits.
Oh my goodness. Of course, Jackie Zabrowski from Page 7 and the Round Table of Gentlemen, right here on the LPN Network. Speaking of Jackie Zabrowski, today's episode is female-themed. It's all about Black Widows.
Oh, yes. Now, there's a lot of anger out there right now.
A lot of rage. Right?
There's a lot of rage. There's a lot of, you know what? And it's ladies' time.
It's ladies' night.
Time to go out there. We gotta run these pieces of shit out of every job that they have, right? We gotta go chase them down. And what better to celebrate all of this than women slowly killing their husbands? And sometimes very quickly killing their husbands.
Technically, HLN has made their entire network about Black Widows. Basically, it's all Forensic Files, which is just like, here, have some Gatorade. In no way is it... what's the name of that beautiful tasting thing that you put in cars?
The beautiful tasting thing that you put antifreeze.
For some reason they made antifreeze like taste amazing, and I don't know why they decided to do that.
I'll tell you why. It was a very curious mechanic. Yep. It was like, oh, you know what we got to do is it's like, what's nice is that it also makes a nice breakfast juice. But it's very straight. ID Channel has been teaching women how to kill men for a really long time.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's about time. Start taking these lessons literally. This is good for you. This is teaching you. This is a reach out.
All right.
Well, the Black Widow subset of serial killers falls mostly under the hedonist comfort killer category. These women kill mostly for profit, usually a sizable life insurance policy, although some admit to getting off on it just a little bit.
When you say sizable life insurance policy, sometimes it'll be like, and Betty Lou came back with $8,000. Like, yes. Oftentimes, it is not the most sizable, but
it just shows how much that husband was worth to her.
Exactly.
She's like, I'd rather have the $8,000. And the moist that women get from this is more of a do. Correct? Mm. Like, it's not a stream.
I don't know how sexual it is in nature, necessarily.
Some of them do get some sort of, like, a little bit of sexual charge, but mostly it's about power and control with some of these women rather than a sexual component to it. And right. We'll get into the differences later on about the differences between male and female serial killers and what each one of them gets out of it. Although, some killers have said, for example, Carla Faye Tucker, who killed a couple of people with a pickaxe.
Yes.
She said that with every fall of the pickaxe, she had a teeny little orgasm.
That's right. We covered that case extensively here on the show. So go back and listen to those episodes.
Oh,
brutal stuff.
Oh, yeah. On the episode titled With an Axe.
Also, when you kill your spouse, you get all of the chips left over in the cabinet, which is good. So you want to kill them right after they just bought a bunch of jalapeno kettle chips.
Yes.
Ooh. Well, the best-known male equivalent to the Black Widow would be H.H. Holmes, who either took out insurance policies on victims, like he did with his business partner, or murdered them after gaining a piece of their financial pie, like he did with Minnie and Nanny Williams.
I am Minnie. No, I know you are Minnie. I am Nanny.
You know, you just pulled the string.
I am Nanny. No, 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 no. I am Nanny. You are Minnie. You know,
I'm Minnie.
See, if you don't do it, then I had. Yeah.
I'm Minnie. I'm Nanny. No, you're not Minnie. I'm Minnie. You're Nanny.
He did it.
He did it.
Well, Black Widows are unique in that they are one of the few victim-specific categories of serial killers. They are even more unique in that they actually know their victims personally, their spouses, lovers, acquaintances, and children, whereas male serial killers, it's strangers.
And it shows that the crimes are still about men. Isn't it, like, fucked up? The crime is still, it's still been put in the context of it's still just about the dudes and not about the women just murdering for money.
Well, it's not necessarily about the dudes. A lot of them kill children. They killed their own children.
Right.
For example, Marianne Cotton killed 11 of her 13 children because they take out insurance policies on these kids, and then they kill them, and then they collect.
And this is these are different sort of children killers than, let's say, that, what was the name of
Andrea
that?
Andrea Yates.
Yes, the one who put the children in the trunk and slowly drove it into the...
That was mental illness. That was postpartum depression. That was a whole different thing. Like, these women they're psychopaths. They're sociopaths. These women have no regard for human life whatsoever.
Okay.
It's just the latest form of abortion.
Yeah.
It's the most late term abortion that can possibly be.
Yeah, I don't want to be controversial, but I'm against it.
I'm against it. Also, they're just doing the NWO's job. In the end, they're lessening the population. We need more. We need less mouths to feed out there. All right, because
I don't know if that's really true.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the right stance to take.
They're polluting the ocean with all these cars.
You could say that, but I'm saying the biggest problem is these kids just going, feed me. I want to be president. I want to be a murderer. I want to be a cat burglar. Well, I want to be an artist.
Technically, that little dog of yours is sucking up quite a bit of oxygen as well.
Mm-hmm. No, she was chewing on a dead mouse last night, so a part of her, she is now starting to fix the problem.
Wow.
Officially entered the food chain. Congratulations, Wendy.
Wow. Oh, nice. That's adorable.
Now, narratively, the problem with a lot of Black Widows is that their stories end up being a bunch of and thens. For example, Marianne Cotton, a.k.a. the Durham County Cottonmouth.
Yeah.
How much weed do you have to smoke to get that nickname?
Now, while she did end up with quite the body count, 21, including those 11 to 13 children that I mentioned, her story is pretty straightforward. She murdered a husband, and then a kid, and then another kid, and then another husband, and so on and so forth.
Oh, my.
Same thing with Nanny Doss, a.k.a. the giggling grandma.
I like that one.
I do like the idea of that's a good wrestling name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
350-pound man dressed as like with a babushka on, just power slamming. Dudes.
What's his finisher? He kills your child in front of you. So it's more of an emotional heartbreak.
Now, we would cover Belle Gunness on this episode, but honestly, Belle needs an episode all of her own. Okay. And we've got to wait until Harold Schechter releases his new book about her called Hell's Princess, which is out April 1st.
Wow, Schechter's still at it, huh?
Oh, dude, I saw Schechter give a talk on Belle Gunness, you know, in anticipation of his new book last year at CrimeCon. Man, I cannot wait to see what he does with this story. It's going to be fantastic.
And you know, right now, Harold Schechter is sitting alone in his room with his big quill just being like,
it may be the only problem that Belle Gunness had was that she didn't meet the right man. If only that wonderful princess could have met old Harold Schechter. But too busy for me, I'm sitting here with my tomes, writing longhand with the quill, as one does, because if a true crime writer does not do it, how do we not fulfill the legacy of Edgar Allan Poe?
I love that. All true crime authors have to write with a quill, otherwise you're not authentic.
Now, they say poison is a woman's weapon, usually derisively, but that statement does have quite a bit of truth to it, at least up until the 70s. Almost half of all recorded American female serial killers use poison at least sometimes in the course of their killing sprees, and those are just the ones who get caught.
Hmm.
Now, interestingly, in the 70s, when America was experiencing serial killer boom, female, multiple, and single murderers experienced a similar increase, with guns and strangulation becoming more common than they had in previous decades.
It's kind of like everyone was getting in the pool. It's like, yeah. Oh, hell yeah, it's murder time. And everyone was just jumping in the, ooh, the water's fine. Oh, this ain't water. It's piss.
Right.
Why? Oh.
Right, and then the police came in and they took a dump in that pool. There's a Duke in the pool, and everyone had to leave like what was the name of that feature film there?
That was Caddyshack.
Caddyshack. There's another Caddyshack. Duke in the pool.
Ooh.
Where the Sandlot.
There's
a Duke in the pool in the Sandlot. Right.
Duke!
Do you think that, like, Jimmy Carter, Richard Nixon, and Gerald Ford, the entire country was basically crap, the economy sucked, but they're like, under our watch, we had some of the best serial killers in the nation's history. We get no respect for it whatsoever.
They had the best films. 70s had obviously the best films in American history, specifically American film.
The only decade ever, if you were a bush hair groomer, you had employment. The only decade ever.
You were a superstar.
Yeah.
Now, some people, mostly second-wave feminists, argue that this increase had more to do with women gaining more agency, women's rights, and such. But I think the fact that male-perpetrated crimes were also getting more violent and frequent points to something else. Possibly the lead argument.
What do you mean?
There was lead in paint everywhere. So essentially, like, lead poisoning could have been rampant throughout the country for decades.
Well, it wasn't lead in the paint. It was lead in gas.
Oh.
That a lot of people, some people think that lead in gas, in car pollutants, increased violence in America because lead poisoning does lead to violence. Mm. And some people think that when we switched over to unleaded gasoline, you can see a correlation in the drop in violent crime. Now, correlation does not necessarily equal causation, but it is an interesting theory nonetheless.
I gotta say, when I took care of Teddy Bear, my Pomeranian, he would eat the walls. And he really would. And I was so happy there wasn't lead in the paint because it would have made him more violent. And he was pretty violent to begin with.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that the dog that broke my skin when it bit me?
That was Gidget. Oh, the Chihuahua. Watch out. I'm a New Yorker or whatever. New York stories if you want to see Gidget. She was cute.
Well, let's get back to Black Widows. Usually the only thing that trips up a Black Widow is the sheer amount of bodies that pile up around him. For an example of that, let's take a look at Tilly Klemek, a.k.a. the Polish Prognosticator.
And I am saying this, Marcus made an incredible name for Tilly, and my father, I am pretty certain, called himself the Polish Prognosticator.
Really?
Like, I am pretty certain.
Yeah, I will have to admit, besides the giggling grandma, I made up all the names, all the AKAs in this episode.
You've done a great job. If this show fails, you can go with the work with the WWE. You'll make the greatest characters of all time.
Tilly Klemek was a squat Polish immigrant living in Chicago who had a penchant for the paranormal. In 1911, she started predicting the deaths of neighborhood dogs, saying that she had dreamed of their deaths.
Come closer, little man. Good morning. I never see you in the morning. You never get up. I had a dream last night.
Yeah.
Oh, you tried to walk away?
Yeah.
Because you say people who describe dream are boring people.
You gotta go to work.
Oh, you got to go to work. Oh, yeah. I keep a story very short.
All right, just gonna.
I had a dream. Oh, you beautiful doggy. What's the doggy's name?
It's Ralphie.
I had a dream last night. I shot it in the fucking head.
You did. Okay, is that the story?
Is it the bad? Yes, have a good day at work.
All right, well, another great run-in with the Polish prognosticator.
Well, sure enough, after Tilly laid each claim, whatever dog happened to be bothering her at the moment would die soon after the prediction. And this was the perfect foundation for Tilly's later crimes, as it was, of course, Tilly herself who was poisoning the dogs.
Oh, man.
And that's the greatest way to make sure that all of your predictions come true.
Right.
Is that you do them.
Yeah. Yep. That's it.
Now, after 3 years of establishing her reputation as a foreseer of death, Tilly predicted the death of her husband of 29 years, a man named John Mitzkowitz.
I mean, at some point, if you're the police in this situation, you'll be like, well, either Tilly is a psychic Or maybe she's the killer. No, no, she's a psychic.
Just wait, Ben. 3 weeks after she made that prediction, John dropped dead of quote-unquote heart problems until he collected a sizable insurance policy.
There's no motive for any crime here, none at all. Have you seen my new babushka? So many emeralds in the shape of the Polish eagle. The most wonderful, beautiful creature that ever forgot the recipe for ice. I put it on the head. I have new work slippers, a new work apron, new work top shirt.
Well, Sergeant, we interviewed Tilly Klimek. Yes, the Polish prognosticator. First of all, she's 100% innocent. And second of all, funny jokes. She is funny jokes. So we got to let her free.
Well, after John's funeral, Tilly visited a matchmaker service specializing in Polish gentlemen. And
oh, my God. It's worse than, like, farmers only.
And after she visited the matchmaker service, she picked up another husband named Joseph Ruskowski. He only lasted 3 months before Tilly once again declared death was coming for poor old Joe.
Tilly, actually, I feel fine.
Uh-huh.
Tilly, I don't know if you remember when you met me, I was named Healthiest Polish Gentleman of the Month by Polish Gentleman magazine. Which means you can lift the whole keg out of a stream.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
all it means.
Sure enough, death came for Joe until he collected another life insurance payout. And after Joe Ruskowski was Joe Guzkowski, who was in and out just as fast as Ruskowski.
I mean, the Polish didn't exactly go far with their names. They kind of kept it all in the same family.
No, we did not. This is how you know somebody's Polish.
Yes.
Or this is how you know that they're Polish.
And almost immediately after that came Frank Kupczyk.
Frank Kupczyk. I think it's Kupczyk.
Kupczyk.
And he is, the saddest part about this is that the most Polish thing of it all is that none of them learned from the mistakes.
No.
From the previous husbands. None of them did any reading. They just jumped right in.
I'm going to make it 4 months with her. That's what I'm going to do. They, you know, that last guy only made it 3 months.
Well, Frank lasted 4 years.
Wow.
But that might be because Tilly was getting her kicks in other ways. Neighbors who had problems with Tilly got seriously ill after eating candy made by Tilly by way of reconciliation. Apology.
Everybody
candy.
Come around to Tilly's house and give out candy to all the children here. Here, Bubsha. Of course, put it in your fucking hole. Put it in your hole.
Yeah, it's not Halloween or anything.
I have some. I give. You see, new babushka. It's got the solid rock of the capital of Poland at the very bottom. The capital of Poland is just one big rock.
Tilly, I gotta say, the last time I had your candy, I got sick. I don't know what happened.
You will die soon.
I guess.
Well, yeah, other neighbors actually died, and relatives of Tilly's dropped dead from mysterious illnesses, which usually resulted in a will payout for Tilly. And then finally, in 1921, Tilly decided it was Frank's time to go. She predicted he would die within 2 weeks, but this time she decided she'd have a little fun with it.
Uh-oh.
Every morning when Frank woke up, Tilly would be right there beside him, mocking him, telling him things like,
"You'll be dying soon."
That's true. She'd say, "Your time is almost here."
Honestly, I would marry her, though. I would stay with her for, like, as long as I was alive.
Oh, yeah, and then she started knitting her mourning hat for Frank's funeral in his presence.
In the Polish community, there are many different types of hats. There's a mourning hat for mourning at a funeral. There's a mourning hat for the time of day, for the mourning.
Uh-huh.
There's a lunch hat. There's a going to an amusement park hat. And there is I go into court to get your children back hat.
Yeah, but the strange thing is, no shoes.
No shoes.
No shoes.
No shoes. No shoes because your feet are become rock-like from working in the root fields. I'm not sure what else that they do on the dirt farms deep in the wilds of Warsaw.
Like the thing from Fantastic Four.
Yeah, and then to make sure Tilly really drove the point home, she bought a bargain coffin and asked her landlady if she could store it in the building's basement until it was Frank's time.
Excuse me, landlady, can I please put this super gruesome Tupperware here in your basement?
Yeah, it looks like a coffin, Tilly. Is it?
You'll die soon.
Ah, dang it.
Oh.
She reminds me so much of my Nana.
Yeah.
My Nana was the Polish woman on the side. And my Nana was disavowed by everyone. She was like left alone to
die. What do you mean disavowed? Like, we disavow? Disavowed.
They were all... She, for Christmas, she used to send, for all of the family, I just remember this going through this outline, she used to send gifts that were just big Ziploc bags filled with safety pins and razors. She'd send this kind of shit.
Was she a toy maker like that Dan Aykroyd SNL sketch where it was just like broken glass and nails?
But no, she was very bad. She used to lock my father in the cupboard underneath the sink, which is why my father left his home at the age of 17 to volunteer for Vietnam.
Your father volunteered for Vietnam.
Yeah, and then he got McHale's Navy. If you just volunteered, you'd get the sweet things.
Oh,
you know, the
know.
Sweet jobs.
No, maybe Tilly was trying to play it smart with Frank's death. As
hide
she
in plain sight.
And she had her cousin by the instrument of death so as to not raise suspicion. And they chose a rat poison named Rough on Rats.
I like the names of things back then.
Really
very
easy.
To the point.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they didn't want to do it like reverse psychology and said like delicious food for rats.
Yeah, exactly.
And sure enough, Frank died 2 weeks to the day after Tilly predicted his death. But even after this, she still got another husband.
Wow. So that we're on to four now.
And we're on number four.
And so she's killed three husbands so far.
Yep. And multiple neighbors and relatives.
And dogs.
And many dogs.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, this last husband was named Joseph Klimek. Again, meeting him through the Polish Gentleman Matchmaking Service, who somehow gotten wise to the fact that Tilly was on her fourth go-round in as many years.
They're Polish. She is the number one client for this matchmaking company.
She really is. She's the only one who keeps coming back, because Polish Gentleman Dating Services also specializes in the longest happy trails that you can get in any, it's like any treasure trail that slowly turns into a bramble patch above your prune yard, which is what I call my balls. My prune yard.
You call your balls the prune yard.
Yes. Yes, I do. And also, it does sound like she's murdering the entire offensive line of the Green Bay Packers.
It does, and that's unfortunate. They still won the Ice Bowl, though, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah, and this was... Little Poland, Chicago Polish.
Oh,
so this
wow.
is like a special kind of Polish.
They all had heart disease. I mean, how long? They
were all going to die by 47.
Exactly.
She just had to wait.
I mean, that's the great thing with Polish people working in the factories. Unlike Germans, they can't get their fingers cut off. They already look like they are, because they're perfect for machinery.
You're being an asshole.
Polish people have fun little hands that are perfect for machinery. I'm saying they're good workers.
I can do the Polish joke.
Luckily for Joseph, people were starting to get wise to Tilly's scheme.
I would hope so.
Because she was getting... a lot more aggressive and just started throwing out death predictions with each person that refused to put up with her shit.
I love her, though, so much. We would just be good friends.
And when Joseph fell ill, again, after a prediction, doctors tested him for arsenic and came up positive. And all of her other husbands were exhumed and all tested positive for arsenic as well.
Mm.
And when Tilly was arrested, she supposedly told the arresting officer, quote,
"The next one I want to cook a dinner for is you."
The Polish prognosticator got scary.
Yeah, she literally is the opposite. She is the fatter gypsy instead of the thinner gypsy from Stephen King.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I would love that if it was like fat. Oh, my.
Now, strange thing about this one is after Tilly was arrested, the whole thing actually turned into a bit of a witch hunt. See, it was suspected that Tilly had poisoned up to 20 people with 14 15 of those poisonings being fatal. And the papers assumed that there was no way that just one woman was capable of all this, so they started printing stories naming her, quote, the High Priestess of a Bluebeard Clique.
That's a really good title.
Bluebeard Clique also sounds like a place where it's just like, don't try the sushi. You know, don't eat the clams. Go with anything that's boiled you can eat, but don't try anything else there.
Anything. None of the international foods.
Nope.
But in the end, Tilly and the cousin who bought the rough on rats were the only ones to go away. But Tilly was awful until the day she died, as she had a hell of a time mentally torturing that cousin while they were in jail. And one time, she even went as far as to convince her cousin that the guards were going to take the cousin out to the yard and hang her. Just cause.
Do you think that they're going to do it today? I bet they will. You will make such a fine screaming Christmas ornament for them. Hey, come closer, I poke your feet with a fucking rat bone. Right. Hey, you come closer. This is how I laugh. I can't even laugh now.
God, I would love her. I honestly would love her. She sounds like she's a member of my family.
Yeah. Sounds like a fun character on Lock Up Raw, that's for sure.
Well, Tilly Klimek's reign of terror finally came to an end on November 20th, 1936, when she died alone in prison.
Oh. That's what she wanted.
She did.
That's literally exactly what she wanted.
Now, you may be asking, how are all these people eating food laced with rat poison and not noticing?
Sure.
Well, back in the day.
You know what? How are all these people eating food laced with rat poison and not noticing?
That's a great question, Kissel.
Yeah, no problem, Henry.
Well, back in the day, rat poison containing arsenic was readily available over the counter. All you had to do was tell the chemist, hey, I got a bunch of rats.
Sure. Have you thought about getting a gun?
It was also tasteless, odorless, and colorless.
Well, how would it attract the rats?
You just put it on stuff that rats like to eat.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, because they thought that if the rats smelled something funny, then the rats weren't going to eat it.
Ah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, but rats don't give a shit. They'll eat human flesh. They'll eat shit out of a used baby diaper. They don't give a shit.
They do not care.
Oh, and arsenic poisoning is not a pleasant death. The victim violently convulses, and the vomit and feces are damn near endless.
And you know when it gets going. Because I've just been sick on my own. I shit four times a day, and I'm healthy.
Well, however, a lot of the time, it was hard to tell arsenic poisoning from the regular run-of-the-mill horrific late 19th, early 20th century diseases. People were dying from horrible shit. They didn't know what was going on all the time.
Sure. It's like, yeah, like Ripper's fever and hook foot. You get like weird ass diseases where it's just like, I've got boil hands.
Drop butt. Never good.
Well, part of that also had to do with some of the absolute dumb shit ways doctors would test for arsenic poisoning. It got better over the years, but in the beginning, they'd do shit like cut out a piece of the stomach and throw it on a fire. And if the cooking organ smelled like garlic, then it was declared that arsenic poisoning was the cause of death.
And they're just like throwing it in and be like, yep, garlic definitely poison. Oh, wait a second. No. We cooked a bunch of garlic on here earlier. We were doing a French cooking class. We need to really, we need a forensic fire and a forensic stove and then a normal cooking stove, okay?
Someone's cooking their lunch right by the burning flesh.
Yeah, and if it didn't smell like garlic, then that was all the proof they needed and the accused was set free.
Hey, all right, there we go.
Now let's take a look at another Black Widow whose loose tongue led her to prison.
Ooh, I just like to see a movie about a Black Widow with a loose tongue.
Uh-oh.
But then it goes from crime and drama to pornography.
Saucy times.
Mary Elizabeth Wilson of England was known locally as the Merry Widow of Windy Nook.
Ooh.
I didn't come up with that one.
I like that one.
I love that Windy Nook.
I've been watching a lot of British home buying shows because HGTV isn't on Netflix, and it seems like a fun little name for a gal. I would like her as a neighbor, you know?
Yeah, the Merry Widow of Windy Nook.
Because it seems like a happy single woman.
Yeah,
which is kind of fun. But a windy nook also sounds like a fun, cute name for a room that you just go fart in.
I would love to be rich enough, but still trashy enough to have a fart room.
From 1955 to 1957, just
put your mother-in-law in there when she comes for the Christmas.
Yeah, funny
family jokes. Yeah, oh, I feel like Clark Griswold over here.
So from 1955 to 1957, just 2 years, Wilson took down four husbands, sometimes weeks after the wedding, and each murder gave the merry widow a hefty payday. Now, people may have just chalked all this up to bad luck had Wilson not been so cavalier after each death. After one husband died, she jokingly asked the undertaker for a discount.
That is a funny.
Very funny, Mrs. Wilson. I'm so glad you can make a joke even at times like these. It makes me wish I had you as a wife. But unfortunately, I can only give you a discount if we chop off his feet.
That is a fun cemetery.
Yeah, and after her next wedding, when a friend asked her what they were going to do with all the leftover sandwiches and cake from the reception, Wilson told her they should just keep them for the funeral.
Mrs. Wilson, thank you for inviting me, the mortician, to your wedding. Once again, your jokes proved to be most convivial. Now, if you do plan on having a funeral soon, may I suggest birchwood for the casket?
Oh, my.
And after that husband dropped dead, police took notice and exhumed the other husbands and found Wilson's weapon of choice was beetle poison.
Beetle poison?
Beetle poison.
How much? That seems like it would take quite a bit of beetle poison to kill a person.
Mm, yeah, it looks like John Lennon took four bullets worth of beetle poison. Ended the 60s. Ended the 70s. Began a dismal beginning to the 80s.
Now, even though Wilson's reign was relatively short, most black widows had relatively long careers compared to most of their male counterparts, 8 years or so. And there are quite a few reasons for this. First of all, there's no crime scene to speak of. As Peter Vronsky points out in his book, Female Serial Killers, black widows don't leave dismembered co-eds on the roadside. Mm. Most of the time, the victims die in their own bed or at a hospital. Second, there's no real way to hunt a black widow as she hides in plain sight, and usually no one even suspects there's a killer in the first place. Mm-hmm. Let's just take the FBI's serial killer classification system as Vronsky lays it out. If you're a longtime listener, or if you've been watching Mindhunter, you know there are three different categories when it comes to serial killers: organized, disorganized, and mixed. Organized, they're the pickers and stalkers. They're intelligent, social, and controlled until the berserker mode kicks in. Gacy, he's probably the best-known example of the organized serial killer.
Him, and I would put BTK, for me, BTK's the top of the pyramid for organized killers, where he is the one, he stalked them for days, he would have long, protracted fantasies, a part of it was the hunt. That's what you're mostly excited for. I would actually put a lot of times black widows in this category, because a lot of times it's because they are, a lot of times, doing it for revenge or money, and then you basically get to stare at your victim. You literally get to sadly make love to your victim, even though a lot of times you're not having fun.
Right. So the opposite of an organized serial killer would be Richard Chase.
Yes.
For example.
Yes. Yeah. And those are the disorganized killers. Uh-oh. Those are the dumb ones. The spur of the moment type guys. Mm. These are your Henry Lee Lucases, your Gary Ridgways. These are your wrong place, wrong time murderers who usually leave the bodies where they lay.
Okay.
But then there are those that are mixed. Bundy was organized, but when he lost his cool at Chi Omega, he became disorganized.
Chi Omega.
Chi Omega, excuse me. I forget. That was one of our first corrections when people started sending us a lot of emails. Chi Omega.
Chi Omega. Now, this is a fraternity, or a sorority, in Tallahassee at FSU, Florida State University, where Henry actually attended university. And Henry, you do have a tale where, being so smart and charming, you did bring up Ted Bundy well inside of this sorority. And if I'm not mistaken, violently escorted out?
I was asked to leave. I was asked to leave immediately. And one of the sororities, because sororities have like brother fraternities, the fraternity man asked me to leave.
And
I left voluntarily. I was not escorted out.
Let me ask you this.
I ordered an investigation onto myself. That's what I did. I pulled a Franken and I said, investigate me.
That's right. Good, yeah. Good.
And I have to ask, were you still in your dashiki phase during this
yes,
time?
Yes, I was.
So you were about 300, 350?
300 pounds. I was deeply into my Afrocentric phase.
Good.
Which is a bad move. Never do that. Never have one of those faces. No pictures exist from that face. Because I wore this like head wrap. It's like a knit cap because my hair was past my shoulders. So I wore this like cap thing and I just reeked a weed.
Right.
And Old Spice and a huge long, yeah.
You know what, you were so transracial. Transracial before it was common.
Yes, it was true. And I do believe that it was mostly my attire that got me kicked out.
Oh, you don't think it was the reference of the serial killer that went and murdered four of their sorority members?
I think that definitely gave them the excuse.
I think it might have been a combo.
Did we say it was a combo?
Well, since Black Widow murders take sometimes months, if not years, of planning and patience, they fall into the organized category. But if you're going with strict definitions, they also leave their bodies at the crime scene, a mark of disorganization. So it's not necessarily mixed. It's not necessarily organized. It's not necessarily disorganized. It's something different altogether. And one of the reasons why the FBI system fails us completely when it comes to women is because in all those studies where the FBI spoke with serial killers, they only spoke to men.
Mm.
But that's not for lack of trying. An academic study was attempted pretty recently in which the authors approached 29 female multiple murderers.
Mm.
Some serial killers, some women who killed more than one in one night. Only 7 out of that 29 agreed to talk. And the conclusion you can draw from this is male serial killers love to jabber on about their crimes, but women, female serial killers, prefer to keep it to themselves.
Hmm.
Because women are better at crime. It shows that they're better at crime. They don't need all the fucking stupid validation that these other male serial killers need. They need to be applauded and talked, and what their crimes talked about. They want to be in the history books. They want to show, look, I'm still essentially mansplaining about murdering to you. Look at the Eddie Kemper shit. It's like, he couldn't have been happier in a world than sit and talk to you how his mind works. Same thing with BTK. Yeah. Same thing with Ted Bundy. But these killers, the lady killers, especially Black Widow killers, they got a motive. They're getting in. They're getting out. They're very deadly. Don't trust your girlfriends.
Don't do it.
Because they will. They will kill you. They should.
As a matter of fact, get out there. What jewelry does she like? Fucking find out tonight and go buy some tomorrow. Or if you're poor, recreate it with macaroni noodles. It's the thought that counts.
Remember tiny details. Remember stuff like when you went on your first date. Like stuff like little details and stuff like that. Just to keep it alive. Keep it fresh.
For example, Brooke, she told me one day she doesn't like popcorn. I haven't looked at popcorn since. I hate it.
You staved off 6 years of murder just with that.
There it is. No popcorn in the house.
Well, while most Black Widows use poison and leave the bodies where they lay, there are examples of physically violent Black Widows, such as Betty Lou Beats, a.k.a. Trailer Park Betty.
Ooh.
This is what I've been excited for, because normally when we cover these, it is a lot of poisonings. But I want to see some women getting fucking bloody.
Oh, there are.
I want a large Marge.
Oh, yeah.
Pee Wee Herman.
Well, since 1975, the Black Widow, or not 1975 exactly, but sometime in the 70s, Black Widow started going out of fashion, and ladies started using guns. Ladies started using knives. Ladies started strangling people.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely has moved away from Black Widow poisonings. But that also has to do with us eventually passing laws saying, like, hey, you got to put a taste to the rat poison.
Yeah, but they made it taste amazing. Yeah, that's the antifreeze problem.
No, that's antifreeze.
I know.
Yeah, but they kind of made them put, and I think actually recently they made a rule where you couldn't put it in pellet form anymore either. I think that was just this year. FDA said no more rat pellets.
What if you poison the rat and feed the rat to the person?
That's going to be deadly.
That's what I'm saying, but it's
that's cool though. That's a good way to do it. It's roundabout. Very Titus Andronicus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's still arsenic poison.
Ah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Now, Betty is a bit like Eileen Wuornos in that Betty Lou has her defenders. She was supposedly sexually abused by her father when she was a kid and suffered through a string of violent and sexually abusive relationships. Now, it's not always the case, and it definitely isn't any excuse, but usually when female serial killers are physically violent, it's preceded by a violent and sexually abusive past. But on the other hand, you can say the exact same thing about male serial killers.
Yep. Of course, it's a mix between nature and nurture. We've learned again and again and again. A lot of these people, like, you can just start bad, like Jeffrey Dahmer, and get worse because you have no reach out. You have nobody there to help you out, and you won't accept because your fantasies are too taboo for anybody, for you to tell anybody, or you're like this.
Yeah, and you know, we oftentimes go and we blame the person who sells the gun to the person who goes and commits a massacre. Whoever sold Dahmer those blue barrels, we got to talk to him. How many blue barrels do you think the guy needed? He lived in an apartment.
Yeah, he does not have a commercial license. It's just right. A guy walking off the street. I should not be able to go and be like, yeah, I need an oil drill. Like, you know, like, why are you getting an oil drill? It's like, I'm getting a business for my fucking self. You know what I mean? Like, that shouldn't be allowed.
Well, there's never been any studies, speaking of nature and nurture, there's never been any studies on women as far as the McDonald triad goes. Mm. You know, the McDonald triads, bedwetting, fire, arson, and cruelty to animals. But in that small study that was done in which those seven women spoke, almost all of them did report cruelty to animals when they were kids.
And it's time for Ben Kissel's famous, funny line of humor. My McDonald's triad is a Big Mac, a large fry, and a chicken nugget. And a medium
what,
chicken
what
nugget.
A Kathy.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
You know, I don't
get
like Tuesdays.
Get him his wine and get him his chocolate. I think Kissel's having a bit of a Monday.
Wow.
So Betty's first marriage was in 1952 at the age of 15 to a man named Robert Branson. They had six kids together before divorcing in 1969, with Branson surviving the marriage. Hmm. Next was Billy York Lane, who married Betty Lou twice. This one she did attempt to kill, but this one was in self-defense, by Billy's admission, as Betty shot Billy in the stomach after Billy broke her nose.
Oh, yeah.
Now, was that after the first wedding?
That was
married
after the,
to each other
that
twice?
That was after the second wedding, I think. Yeah, because they got married in 1970. Uh-huh. They got divorced in 1970. Uh-huh. Then they got married again in 1972, and then got divorced again in 1974.
That is... Huh.
Passion.
Yeah. I guess so.
Then after that was Ronnie Threlkeld. They married in 1978, but that one only lasted a year before Betty tried to run him over with a truck.
It's kind of a fun couple where it's like everyone in the town knows when they're fighting, when you hear certain screams, be like, no, we don't call the police. They work it out.
Oh yeah, Ronnie and Betty Lou, they work it out eventually.
They work it out.
They'll be back to kissing and a hugging tomorrow morning. Let
yeah,
me
well,
tell
she
you.
She run him over with a truck finally. She always said she was going to.
You know what? I would like to find out if this is the song Hard Headed Woman was based on.
The Cat Stevens song?
Yes.
I love Cat Stevens.
I think is his name Mustafa Stefan now? What's his name?
Yusuf Islam.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Yes.
And they didn't let him into the country, not because of his religion. It was actually an indictment on his singing. And I thought
that's
that
so
was
sad.
Me.
I love. Don't you make fun of Cat Stevens.
Oh, I love Cat. I listen to Cat Stevens all the time. Or Yusuf Islam.
Well, Ronnie took Betty trying to run him over with the truck as his cue to leave. And he also survived. But her fourth husband, Doyle Wayne Barker, would not be so lucky. Mm. One night, Betty shot Doyle three times in the head with a .38 special and had her daughter, Shirley Stanger, help to bury him under the tool shed out back behind the trailer.
And that's how you create a tool tree. Where do wrenches come from? Where do hammers come from? You've got to murder someone, bury them underneath the tool shed, and the tree that springs will indeed provide you all the tools you need. Yes.
Well, there was no life insurance money that I know of involved in that one. Betty Lou did inherit Doyle Wayne's trailer in Gun Barrel City, Texas, out near Purtis Creek.
Now, nothing I like better than just sitting with a nice hot cup of wine in Gun Barrel City, Texas. They are so proud of their guns. And just parts of guns. The most penis-like part of the gun.
Oh, yeah. What kind of wine is your favorite? Pinot Noir? I like watermelon strawberry. That's my favorite kind of wine. And I had an orange apple wine the other day. Pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I checked it out. Gun Barrel City's got about 5,000 people. They got a Walmart.
Good.
And they also have a Lowe's.
That's all you need.
I love Walmart and Lowe's. I shop over here. I go to a super center that's got a super Walmart, a super Target, a super Lowe's, and a Home Depot all in one, and I have a fucking pig and shit of a time.
Absolutely.
So in 1982, Betty would marry her second and final victim, Jimmy Down Beats.
Uh-oh.
One night, after only a year of marriage, Betty told her son, Robert Branson Jr., to leave the house because Betty planned to put a bullet in Jimmy Don's brain.
That's also because Jimmy Don always had a song being like, whether it's out on the streets or up on my feet, ain't nobody likes to fuck like Jimmy Don Beats.
It's actually a phenomenal song, and I would buy that album in like a heartbeat.
You just say it again and again, and finally she's like, he's got to go.
When Branson returned, Jimmy Don was dead from two in the head.
Oh.
Branson then helped his mother bury Jimmy Don's body under a decorative wishing well in the front yard of the trailer.
This one decorative. You can tell because it's got a flower on the front of it. That's what makes it decorative. This is for family. All right, this is for family. Back, I got to tell you, the well back in the behind the house, that's for work. Ain't no such niceries on it such as a flower.
I do think the movie The Ring would be better if it wasn't a little girl, if it was this guy who was just like, her, come on, you watch the tape? 7 days!
7 days! Oh no, it's Jimmy Don Beats!
Oh, yeah!
Can you hear that song? Whether out in the streets or up on my feet, ain't nobody like to fuck like Jimmy Don Beats.
7 days.
Well, the next day, Branson went to Cedar Creek Reservoir and set up a fake out. So Branson took Jimmy Don's boat out on the water and planted Jimmy Don's fishing license, his heart medication, and a life jacket inside. Betty Lou then called up the police and reported that Jimmy Don was missing. Mm. When the boat was found drifting soon after, it was assumed that Jimmy Don had fallen overboard and drowned.
Mm.
It wasn't until 2 years later that someone rolled over on Betty Lou Beats, although the only identity that I could find of that someone was a quote-unquote credible source.
Oh, come on.
Hmm.
Either way, it was the son who broke under pressure, and Betty Lou was arrested for both murders.
Hmm.
Now, while many of Betty Lou's advocates say that Betty was driven to murder by her abusive husbands, Betty Lou's story during the trial was that it was actually her two kids, not her, who murdered her husband.
Trailer Park Justice.
You're
always flipping on each other. You just don't do that. You don't give up your own kid. Oh, whatever, whatever. You got to be proud of your crimes.
Yep. But the jury did not buy it, and Betty Lou was sentenced to death by lethal injection.
Ooh.
And while her advocates continued to plead for clemency, which she probably could have gotten, Betty Lou had the bad luck to have her execution date fall during the governorship of the happiest executioner in Texas.
Who's that?
George W. Bush.
Oh, the world's most funniest president who has, who should be convicted of war crimes?
Yes, the cutest war criminal of all time.
Oh.
Him and Goebbels, so cute and fun. He paints dogs.
Oh, I love that. He's smiling now.
Yeah, and in fact, instead of granting clemency to Betty Lou Beats, George W. Bush made it a special point to be in Texas the day she was executed.
I mean, honestly, if you're gonna do it.
I'm the decider. I'm super excited. I go out there. Can I pull the lever? Come on, give me shit. I'm good at it. I can pull on a lot of things. Do I put it up or down?
Yeah, Governor, just come here. Are you drinking again, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't I be?
All right. Just because you're drunk.
I decided to drink alcohol this morning. Also, what I decided to do was give us a forever war, but you'll see that in about 10 years.
Yep, Betty Lou Beats was one of 153 prisoners to die under Bush's watch.
Good God, that's a lot.
Oh, well, actually, Rick Perry broke that record.
Did he really?
Well, Rick Perry was governor for longer. George W. Bush was only governor for 5 years. Rick Perry was governor for
153 in 5 years?
In 5 years, yeah.
Dude, we got to do an episode on those serial killers.
Well, we've mentioned this before, but it does bear repeating. The only person granted clemency in Texas while George W. Bush was governor was Henry Lee Lucas.
That's right.
Wow.
And it's just because your father saw him one time.
One
That's
time.
The power of the parks.
Or it could be that Henry Lee Lucas was a member of the Hand of Death, of which George W. Bush was probably connected. And they used their connections in order to save Henry Lee Lucas's life, because if he would not have been granted clemency, then Henry Lee Lucas may have told a story or two.
The Bill Cooper episodes will never officially be over. Because guess what? Yeah. We're still living in that reality, buddy.
Or could it be? Henry Lee Lucas is Oregon energy. Wasn't needed by the aliens because he was what they called too dumb to power their ships.
And that's part one of Black Widows. We'll All be back right. next week with more Black Widows here on Last Podcast on the Left.
Oh, my. I don't know why this episode was, like, surprisingly fun. I guess it's...
It's like, it feels like it's like a pressure's off.
They married them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think...
I don't know. There's something about it where it's like they found something attractive about these women. They must have liked their personalities.
I'm not
victim blaming here.
People get into unhappy... people get into unhappy, horrible marriages the time.
Yeah, and I like a strong-willed woman. I think it's fun. Somebody's like, it's kind of fun to feel the danger a little bit.
Sure.
You could kill me. Natalie's 4 inches taller than me. She practices drop kicks all day.
Mm-hmm.
She could kill me in a second. She could do it with her beautiful legs. And I'd be smiling as she puts me in the scissor lock as I slowly fucking die. And I'm still like saying like, thank you. I'm so excited for this. We've already said that. That's our goal. If I go past 90 and I can't think or like shit on my own anymore, she is to sit on my face until I'm dead.
Well, that's true. And when you're doing your wedding vows, if like your wife really laughs at the line, and like, till death do us part, and she's like, won't be long. That's one of those red flags. It's a big
You'll
red flag.
You'll die. Yeah. You'll die soon.
This is I didn't know. That's an improv. That's an improv on the fucking vows that she just did.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Thanks so much for listening. Let's see here. What do we got to tell the folks? We got Omaha now.
First up, we are going to be in Omaha tomorrow, November 18th. The first show is sold out, but the second show, we've still got tickets on sale. So be sure to come out to that. I think that's at 10:30. It's our last live show of the year,
and
it's probably going to be our last live show until April or so.
Just know that our two shows all will be similar because we got a running show. But if you come to the late show, that's normally when we'd probably be hanging out. More so is after that show, because in between, our time is limited because they got to clear out for the next audience coming.
Yeah, we can't really hang out in between the first and second show, but we'll hang out after the second one.
Absolutely, and let's see here.
Also,
a bunch of stuff going on.
On Twitter, I was going to say at Henry Loves You, at Marcus Parks, at Ben Kissel, at Instagram, Dr. Fantasty, at Marcus Park, at Ben Kissel, the number one, and LP on the left for everything. Can someone tell me where to eat in Omaha? I want to know what's the good steak. I want to know what's the good steak or what's the good barbecue. Yeah, that's what I would like.
Well, Omaha is so great. They let you pick out the cow. You get an hour with the cow while it's alive to bond with it.
Really?
And then they kill it right in front of you, and you just get to eat it right there.
You don't understand how excited that would make me. It's a part of even thinking about them killing all these elephants and shipping the parts back. It's
goodness,
like, I know it's fun. Obviously, it's a horrible tragedy, but at the same time, I would eat a bit of elephant, but I want it to be raised for its meat.
Right, you know exactly. I mean? Oh, that's such a stupid decision to overturn that. That's right. And rate and review the show. Let's get to number one here.
Yeah, let's get to
My
number
goodness,
one.
We can do it. I know we can. Our numbers are better than all these people. There's some stupid algorithm they use.
Oh, there's something going on.
Anyway.
We don't know what's going on, but something's going on. We've seen the documents.
Yeah. So.
And thanks to everybody who gives to our Patreon.
Yes.
If you guys want to give, patreon.com/lastpodcast on the left is the address.
Mm.
Thank you. No matter how much you give, we absolutely appreciate it. Thank y'all so much. It means a lot.
Absolutely. Keep on supporting all the shows here on LPN. Ablingen's Top Hat, that episode comes out here very soon. We really break down the whole Roy Moore stuff and all those exciting world of politics in this day and age. Roundtable of Gentlemen, we got some big news coming for that show.
Mm-hmm.
Page 7, Sex and Other Human Activities, all the shows. Wizard and the Bruiser, you know where to find them.
Oh, yeah. Page
Check
7,
them all out.
Page 7 is back. We figured out how to record with Jackie being out in L.A. We're also going to be bringing Sex and Other Human Activities back either next week or the week after.
Right.
It's going to be coming up. So, well, yeah, next week is Thanksgiving, so it'll probably be the week after.
That's right.
So we're going to be, and also check out Escuela Sangre. This week's episode is going to be on Aztec Human Sacrifice.
Aztec Human Sacrifice. That's when they work really, really, really hard and climb the corporate ladder and finally become CEO. They have to sacrifice relationships and
that's
time.
That's what it is. You have to sacrifice to make it in this world. That's what you have to do. That's what it's all about. It's about working hard. And just remember, in these times of chaos, if you think about chaos magic and what's kind of happening right now, if you think about this sort of magic, it seems like this is kind of a magicless time, but actually it's the opposite. Just remember, when you put out bad shit out there, it comes back. Mm-hmm. That's a part of what all of this is about. The part of it is that the universe is doing a gigantic equalization experiment. Once you things chipped one way, it's going to tip the other way, and a bunch of, and the otherwise, it's going to feel insane. So just hold on tight, and just know that shit will equalize out in the end.
And don't be a troll on social media.
Absolutely not.
There you go. I don't know. Our fans are not that way. All right, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Hail Gein.
Hail me.
And let's do a Magustalations.
For Christmas.
For Christmas.
Fuck Christmas, by the way. Christmas can still go fuck itself.
I like Christmas.
The war on Thanksgiving is on right now. Let Thanksgiving have its own time.
In this house, Thanksgiving. We say Merry Thanksgiving in this house. All right, everyone. It's time for Patreon shoutouts. Thank you all so much for giving. We really, from the bottom of our dark hearts, we love you very much. Hail yourselves. Okay, I will begin. Henry is busy now. He's doing something.
He had to run off film something, so it's just going to be the two of us.
That's it. Marcus and Ben, we're back in the saddle.
In the saddle.
We're in the saddle. Simone Meyer, thank you so much, Simone. Vanessa T. Thea Hogarth. Kate Schnackenberg.
I think that's Hogarth.
Hogarth. It's a Garth. It's an H there. I think it's a, is it a Hogarth?
That's Hogarth.
Okay, Thea Hogarth. Kate Schneckenberg, Samantha Molotta, Chris Franks, Bridget Blight Zerker, Kirsten Hesserot, Jasmine Gutierrez, ooh, Mitch Jackson, I can say Mitch Jackson all day long, Thomas Saltman, Samantha Molotta, Alexandra Alani, Willa Fry, Sasha Fusco, Kurt Bruckner, Sarah Trapido, Vladimir Kutin, interesting. Collusion. Jonathan Sassar, Steph Magari, Rebecca Irk, Rachel Proctor, Daniel Chipley, Eli August, Jennifer McCoy, Angela Noden, Madison Krisky, Dan Eggers, Kendall Rowley or Raleigh, Savannah Fairchild, Leland Sparks or Leland Sparks, Neely Faulkner, Rihanna Watson, Anthony LaRose V. Anthony LaRose, maybe the fifth?
Anthony LaRose, the fifth.
Stephen Atkins, Christina Fiore. Christina Fiore, Lena Green, Don Booth, Susie Liu, Jesse Hacker, Rhea Lyons, Christina Palajuli. P-L-A-I-U-G-L-I. Palajuli. Okay. Joan Glacken, Rebecca Frost, Desmond Zantua, Nicole Brigatti, Alana Ramsier, Steve Smith, a great receiver, but I don't think it's that Steve Smith, but Steve Smith, James Harris, Kay Perignon, Al Rowley, Andrew DiNucci, The Penske File, Lisa Wolf or Alisa Wolf, Morgane Brindle, Eddie Valander, Deep Sage Explorer Xander. Well, this is just someone's email address, so I'm just going to say Christina Taylor, Emma Rosington, and Annie Miller. Thank you all so much. Hail yourselves.
We got Lindsay French, Catherine Murray, Rebecca Crockett, Dylan Enright, Tim Frazier, Bridget Manners, Grimace Reigns, Chris Birch, Ryan Chesley, Megan Rolla, Sarah Martin, Ryan Lawrence, Dog Juice, Jessica Nordenson, Gru, The Grotters, Felipe Sobrero, Katie Hodgden.
Nailed it.
I think it's Hodgden.
There it is.
Noel Schmee, Smee. Noel Smee.
Smee.
There's an umlaut and a tilde. Not a tilde. Accent. Umlaut and an accent on
you
that.
You never
one.
Know.
Trey Oakes. Brianna Hay.
Uh-oh.
Dalton Rizzer. Ashley R. Haney. Reynolds Anderson. Not cast. Stefan Schalberg. Katie Carruth. Jay Garza. Maricela Minchaca. Audrey Trouth. Jesper Kalianiemi. Cheyenne Smith. Turd Fuggison.
That's funny.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's funny.
Lance Morrison. Portia Gao. Eric Bookout. Juliet Cantu. Marianne DiPasquale.
Uh-oh.
Inez Torre. And Kevin Casey.
All right. I got Christy Cole. I got Fred Aldred. Joanna Shaw. Gia Jasmine. Owen Kinslaw, Owen Jones, John Kirkland, Sela Ayers, Mel, hello Mel, Alyssa Guinness, Ashley, Sean DeBleck, 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 DeBleck,
DeBleek,
you never know, Daniela Leonard, Aaron Purcell, hello Aaron, Allison Major, Anthony Tagliente, Glenn Sibley, Stuart Sheldon, Dakota Madison, Christina Patton, Sean William Collis, thank you so much, Brad Herrick, Maria Abbott, Brian Spenson, Mike Rappin, Megan E. Gong, Glenn Durott, Chris Carmody, Michael Morgan, Felicia Alvarez, R. Ikubo, Brenda Caldera, Ronald Brandt, Gabby Schladale, Marky Ringwald, Marky Ringwald, Quentin Caster, Jordan Fuox, William Muir, Hannah Kate Schaefer, Corey Johnson, Aaliyah Renee Cappadocci. Thank you all so much. Hail yourselves. We really appreciate it.
Rounding it out, I got Jenny Peters, Jasmine Lockwood, Nora Cromwell, Colton Sigmund, Haley Hagen, Morgan Beverly, Aaliyah Cappadocci, Courtney Wells, Alexis Manrot, Samantha Schaitberger, Hygrom, Haley Wedgeworth, Jacob Sperger, Marshall O'Hearn, Stephen Smith, Stephen Steelman, Bella Toth, Kat Ligula Johnson, Stephanie Hodson, Blake Howard, Jessica Figueroa, Stephanie Miller, Jennifer Corey, Lucy Catton, Kirsty Rawlings, Lucy Brady, Elizabeth J, Krista Glanville, Jack Hodill, Rusty Shackelford, Matthew Turfey, D. Widget, Jess, Aaron B, Domingo Carlo Martinez, Courtney Chambers, Alex Glanville, Tobias Levin, Daniel Score, and Lindsay Toth.
All right. Thank you all so much. Henry's not here, so I'll do a Hail Satan on his behalf.
Cool.
I will say a Hail Me on his behalf.
All right.
And I will say a Hail Yourselves on my behalf.
And I'll say a Hail Gene on my behalf. Thank you all so much for all that you guys have given to us. You've fucking given us a wonderful foundation. Love it. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon.